Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off this week's editorials and this long weekend, Monday's editorials, with a company update from Libero Copper and Gold. I'm chatting with the CEO, Ian Harris. Now, Ian is the new CEO of Libero, just joined last month, January. The reason why I wanted to bring Ian on is because there's been a lot of developments in this company since I last had them on the show. That was back in September. Since that time, though, the company has a private placement that has been upsized to $7 million. In full disclosure, I will be taking part in that private placement. And they are planning a 12,000-meter drill program spread across three of the company's four key projects. Also, something to note is that prior to the private placement closing, the company is also consolidating their shares on a 5-to-1 basis. So that will bring their share count down to about 30 million shares outstanding, plus the shares that are added on the back end of that private placement. Ian, let's start off breaking down project by project the drill plans. We're going to start with the Esperanza project. This is in Argentina. I understand there will be 5,000 meters drilled on this project this year, starting in and around April. Give us a little background on this Esperanza project and what you guys are going to be focused on with this 5,000-meter program, please.
So we're all about unlocking value, and Esperanza is a great example of it, where in 2018, there was some really nice drill results came out of the project, including 387 meters starting at surface of about 0.78% copper equivalent. But due to market, the company, Latin Metals, wasn't capable of financing future work. So it's been sitting in care and maintenance. And so our number one goal is to get drilling again on that project and follow up on that significant target. So as a philosophy, we're looking for porphyries that have legs to be developed as mines, which has a significant footprint that can get significant tonnages that make the economics for bringing on board some of these large-scale projects. So that'll be a continuous theme as we walk through these. So in Esperanza, we have an incredible discovery hole, and we will be following up on that same trend. So we're basically stepping out, drilling multiple holes along the same strike and perpendicular to strike, because it continues to be open at depth and open to the west. So we'll be stepping out and trying to get understand the extents. The anomaly itself is quite large. So really, we're very excited on starting to build out the bulk of the project.
So how deep are you intending on these initial holes, these step out holes? Because one thing to note, that discovery hole, almost 400 meters, and it's noted that this hole intersect was from surface to the end of the hole. So how deep do you think these step out holes are going to be?
We are looking at two types of holes. One is using man portable drills, which will be in the valley, and trying to get deeper than the 387 meters and pushing to 400 to 500 meters. We've already been working with the contractors and the drill selection with that goal in mind. And then a more standard diamond hole with potentially even deeper holes, stepping out to the west and getting even deeper, 600, 700 meters into the core of this, the potential deposit.
Ian, can you also just give us a little bit more color on that comment you made saying that this anomaly is very large?
Yeah. So first of all, the original drilling encountered copper over a 1.8 kilometer strike length, but there's also quite extensive alteration and multiple styles that covers over about a 1.5 by 1.2 square kilometer area. And that's important for us because we're looking for projects that have the potential to become future mines. So we kind of have this target in our head. You need something that's going to have over 150 million tons to become a future mine with over 30,000 tons per day. So Esperanza has that. It has mineralization directly from surface. So you know that it's not going to have some gigantic strip requirement up front, and it has the size that if we can just build it out, that it has potential to have the legs to become a future mine. So we're very excited about this project.
Okay. And just to remind everybody, that 5,000 meters planning to start in and around April. Let's move on to a couple of the projects that the company has in the Golden Triangle, starting with Big Red. Now, the Big Red projects, it's in the northern part of the Golden Triangle. There was a discovery made just last year in 2020. You're planning another 5,000 meters here. What insights can you give us on that discovery that was made last year that you're following up on?
So Big Red, also one of the significant reasons that I joined the team was kind of at the end of the season, some RC drilling done on a porphyry target and actually drilled where it was easy to get access. So it was actually on the periphery of the main target. And the results back were all of them hit copper from surface, including 120 meters at 0.43 equivalent copper. So again, a very similar story. Now we're planning 5,000 meters, getting back in, but with diamond this time, with the ability to continue to drill to depth and actually working into the heart of the anomaly. So that one is basically a magnetic low and a conductivity high geophysics anomaly, but it also has a geochemistry anomaly. And it again is about that 1 kilometer plus by 1 kilometer plus size. So it's got some significant legs. And again, Esperanza is in San Juan, which is a very mining friendly district. Big Red is within the Golden Triangle. And we can all understand the ability to get these projects into production if in the future.
So being in the northern end of the Golden Triangle, when do you foresee this 5,000 meter program starting this year?
Okay, we're going to start with, because it was a late season discovery, we're going to actually start back as soon as possible, probably June, July time period, doing groundwork and creating the vectors necessary to maximize our drill program. And then I believe we're targeting currently August to begin drilling on the project.
And in terms of the step out then drilling, what are you guys planning? How big of step outs are you going to do from that discovery hole?
So again, this is on the periphery of the anomaly. So most likely we'll be moving in towards the center of the anomaly. And we haven't made final decisions on what size step outs because it's still will be continue to be prospect drilling, right? To understand it, to what is the extent, what is the graphical footprint of the anomaly.
Okay. But that's important to understand too, is that you guys don't think that you hit the main target right where you could have. You hit kind of the outside of it. So now it's following up and just seeing if those ideas and plans all come together. Let's also talk about the Big Bulk project. This is also in the Golden Triangle. It's a bit more early stage exploration, but you are planning 2,000 meters here this year. Give us a little insights on that Big Bulk project, please.
So as you can see, the company is developing a pipeline of different projects, and we'll finalize with Makoa, which is at a different stage. But to go from discovery and then start getting into resource development or into project development and trying to create a pipeline. So Big Bulk is more of an early stage, but it's based on, you know, a high level of intelligence where the project had been looked at before, had been drilled before. There was multiple phases of mineralization within the project. Most of the previous drilling focused on a phase three, but a reinterpretation, re-looking at the project. There's a thesis here that the best grades were actually in a phase two type mineralization. So we're going to be testing that theory and see if we can add an additional discovery into the project pipeline of the company. So we're there. We're spending 2,000 meters, and it's a very binary type project where we can see, hey, is our theory correct, or is this something that we're gonna pass on? But based on a high level of analysis and intelligence of where we're putting these holes.
Okay, so that's important too—a relook at this project and really looking to make a discovery this year. How deep are you envisioning drilling these holes, since it is more or less your guys' first pass at this?
We are still probably going to be ending up drilling between 340 meter holes because we're very focused on the structures that we want to hit, because it has previous drilling, it has previous mapping. We know the targets we want to hit. We know what we're looking for. Is the theory correct? Because previously there was some sections of some holes that were very attractive grades, but the drilling was focused on vectoring into a different phase of mineralization. So that is the thesis, and that's what we're looking at.
All right, perfect. Thank you. Let's look at the fourth project. There won't be any drilling done or at least planned at this project this year. It is the Makoa project. It's in Colombia. This is a much more advanced project and asset. It is resource stage. There's a pre-feasibility done back in 1983. But you guys are working through some permitting here, and I know talking to you off mic and talking to the rest of your team, you guys are very encouraged and excited about what Makoa could turn into. Where does that project stand then? Please bring our audience up to date on that.
Before answering the project directly, I'd like to take a little step back because lots has happened with Libero since it sounds like the last time there was a conversation. And one of the reasons I joined the company with a high level of excitement, but I'm not the only, you know, new blood that's been added. So Makoa is in the Jurassic copper belt that runs majority through Ecuador all the way through Colombia and into Panama. And I had previously worked senior vice president for Corriente Resources, which had the Mirador project, which was in the exact same belt, very similar size, which we eventually sold to two Chinese SOEs. We faced significant issues on a country level with a new constitution, new mining law, but we put in the base work to create some very important relationships, very important support within the local communities to be able to advance that project, which is now the first ever large-scale mining project in the history of Ecuador. But also joining on the board is Ernie Mast, who was CEO of Inmet's Cobre Panama, which faced some of the very similar issues where you were dealing with a country kind of opposition to mining as a whole. And there you have the first operating large-scale mine in Panama. So the two closest operating mines to Makoa in the same belt are Cobre Panama and the Mirador mine. So that same philosophy, the same things that were the processes, procedures, and mostly mindset that were required to get those projects have been brought to the project Makoa, right? So where Makoa isn't facing a national issue, it's not facing widespread new constitution, new mining law, et cetera, but it needs to do the basic corporate social responsibility, socialization, building long-term relationship, open communications, transparency, putting all the programs into place to make sure that when this project restarts, that you'll have a sustainable project. So right now it's in the process of getting its drilling permit, but we're also putting in the programs that are necessary that say, once we get that drilling permit, that this is going to be a sustainable project. Because Makoa is a 636 million ton resource at a 0.45 equivalent copper. It's a very big project, and it has plenty of room to grow. As very common, these deposits have twins. There's a extremely close second anomaly that has never been followed up on directly to the east. And its starting point is 636 million tons. So when we get this project unlocked, we're going to move it forward on a sustainable base. So I think that's a big important part of the background is understanding that new blood has been brought to the project, to the company, with a key focus on looking at Makoa.
All right, let's wrap it up here, Ian, with a little background on yourself. And because you are so new to the team, what really interested you about joining Libero?
So my background is I'm a mining engineer. I've spent and lived I've spent and lived 12 years in South America and worked probably over 18 years in South America. So it's an area I'm very comfortable with. As I touched on before, I was previously senior vice president and country manager for Corriente, which eventually sold, but I was also part of post-sale. Part of the agreement was that I joined the company for a year afterwards and got it into construction. And previously was CEO of AMAC Mining, which was the only private operating mining company in Saudi Arabia. Was president of PAR Resources for the last 3 years, where working in Colombia. So my background is focused on post-discovery, getting things through project development, project construction, or operating actual mines. I started my career with ASARCO in their management development program, working out of Arizona at the Ray Mine.
And then what interested you most about coming over to Libero and moving this company forward?
Mostly because you have a significant discovery at Big Red. You have a significant discovery to follow up on in Argentina. And you have this big mammoth of Mocoa that just needs that the project is done right to get it on a sustainable development path. And that's what's really exciting, right? Because the criteria is you want a project that has the potential to become a future mine. So Libero, not just a single opportunity, has three different opportunities to make that happen. And then the ability to get the funding necessary to advance all those different projects. And that is where the excitement is, because all of these projects, you know, check some very key boxes in their ability to become significant projects in the world. And starting from a capitalization that isn't realizing that potential value yet. So there's plenty of room to grow. So it was the right time and the right projects. And the market was correct. So very exciting. And I'm really need to say that the quality of the team that has been put together around the project, you previously talked to Ian Slater, but adding Ernie Mast also as a director, also have Thomas Mufford, who is in charge of the Golden Triangle, many years of experience. Brad Rourke also has joined the board, who is Scotty's CEO, extensive experience in the Golden Triangle. And we've added a new exploration geologist in Argentina that was associated with the Taca Taca project, incredible professional. So there's people in every single one of our locations that can make these projects successful. So we have the experience, the teams to move things forward. We're closing on the capital required. And then they all have this technical basis that gives all these projects a potential of becoming very successful.
All right. Hey, Ian, I really appreciate this broad update and that background on yourself. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Or if you want more information on that financing, you can let me know. Again, I am taking part in that financing, so you all know, in full disclosure. Ian, thank you for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, Corey. Look forward to being back one day soon.